Today, on a very special episode of The Comic Shoot, Mr. Robert Venditti might have spoiled a few things for our producer, Spencer Wallace. I say too bad, but he says boo-hoo. Basically, Mr. Venditti might have spoke a little bit about some things that happened recently. If you have not caught up on EXO Mad War, it is probably best that you do. I don't think you'd be too hurt by it if you listen anyway. But hey, you've been warned. I've done my job. Enjoy.
Comic.com here at the 10th anniversary of Calgary Expo. I am here at my favorite booth of the entire Expo. I am at the Valiant booth. If you guys have ever heard me talk about Valiant, you know how much I freaking love this company and everything they're doing. And I have the absolute honor to be sitting next to Robert Venditti.
How's it going, man? Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, thanks for having me. You know, it's a busy con. I'm sure you guys got lots of people coming in, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's my first time in Canada. So obviously my first time at the Calgary Expo as well, and it's been a really cool show. It's a really fun town too, having a really good time being here.
You got lucky that it's the Flames game at the same time, right? So absolutely. It's a little crazier than normal. We're not quite this crazy, but
not only that, also Poutine Week. So there's a perfect storm of stuff going on right now.
There's places even just called the Poutinery that just all they sell crazy poutine and everything. So. You know, welcome to Canada. Have some beer, have some poutine, you know.
I have already, of both.
He's drinking right now, I'm just saying. All right, so you guys are, we're into what, EXO Manowar number 35 was just, that's 34, right? 35 comes
yeah,
out.
35 is the one that just came out.
Just came out.
36 will be, I guess, the April book. Yeah, I mean, the May book.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Tell us a little about where we're going right now with it.
Right now we're in the middle of an arc called Dead Hand, which is basically picking up some of the threads from the end of the Armor Hunters event. The Armor Hunters were a group of volunteer warrior hunter-killers that went around the universe exterminating EXO Manowar armors because they feel that the armors are sort of a viral threat to all civilizations. Eric, of course, being in possession of one of the armors, they went to Earth to try to kill his armor, and they that squad ended up losing. What we find out in Dead Hand was there was sort of a failsafe at the end, that if all the armor hunters were wiped out, there was an automated robot protocol that's basically a giant planet made of robots that would switch on when Control, the head of the armor hunters, died. That would activate and would now, instead of going after armors, is going out throughout the galaxy systematically cataloging all the life forms from various planets, then causing energy bursts in their stars that wipe entire systems clean of all life, with the goal that they'll be able to use all these biological samples from all these different planets to create a new organism that will be immune to the armor virus, and then they could repopulate all these planets with that new virus. So this planet is going around destroying, and then number 34 to 35, they destroy Loam, which is the homeworld of the Vine that we saw back in the early run of the series. A few of the Vine got away. There's sort of a fleet of them in space now, but they don't have a home to go to anymore. Eric, being a protector of both Earth and also of Loam, is now going to go try and confront the Armor Hunters Protocol, sort of bring his own army together to go defeat this planet before they get to Earth.
You know, had I not ever heard anything about the series, that little spiel right there literally would make me want to read the series. Even if we're disregarding everything else from the beginning that I've already read, even just starting there is a really, really cool just premise. Armor Hunters, up until the Valiant beat you, knocked out number one, but the Armor Hunters is one of my favorite events I've ever read. Certainly right up there, like I said, number one, two, tied with the Valiant. Let's start there, I guess, we're talking, because that's kind of where this is all spinning out of. And that was a pretty big arc, spanning through a fair amount of books. It was at least, 12, 13 books overall with everything?
Yeah, let's see. There was 5 issues of Armor Hunters, and then it also tied in with 4 issues of EXO, 4 issues of Unity, 3 issues of Bloodshot, and 3 issues of Harbinger, I think. So that's 14 and 19 titles altogether. Yeah.
Where did that idea come from, to treat the armor like the virus, and then you see like there's little glimpses of other armors with other beings, you know, yeah, around the world and stuff, which, by the way, that panel in 33, I think, or maybe it was beginning of 34, yeah, and they're all like there, and, yeah, and the, you know, like the, there's like the Thor one and stuff, like, that was one of the coolest panels as well. That needs to be like blown up and, you know, put on your banner here, but...
Yeah, we'll be seeing a lot of those characters again. They all have names, and they all have backstories, you know, but they're not, it's not necessarily on the page, but they're all fully realized characters. But what happens usually with events, you know, whether it be, you know, I've done some crossovers with the Green Lantern books at DC, or Armor Hunters, or Book of Death, which is coming up for Valiant, is, you know, the publisher will come to you and they'll say that we want to do an event. So, for example, Armor Hunters. We want to do an event where people come to Earth to try to kill the armor. And then I figure out who the people are, why they're coming, what the reason is. And so when they put that on the table for me, just thinking around ideas, I came up with the idea of the armor sort of being this virus. Because for me, like, I always want my stories... I want everybody to be the good guy depending on the perspective through which you view the story. So the Armor Hunters certainly are villains from our Earthbound view. They're coming here to, you know, wipe out our planet and get rid of this armor that is, you know, not causing the problems that they think is going to happen. But from their perspective, this armor is going to destroy our planet and then go to another planet, destroy that one, another one, destroy that one. And so everybody's sort of the hero of their own story. And so, you know, like I say, they give you that initial sort of a broad concept, and then as the writer you go in and you start to flesh it out in terms of who the characters are, what the conflict is. Once you've got that, you get in the writer's room with the writers from the other books and you start kicking around more ideas of how other series can tie in, and everybody just starts sort of feeding off each other, and it just grows out from there.
Is that like stem from those Valiant retreats? You see, you guys just had one recently,
yeah,
and you guys kind of throw around ideas. Like, in my mind, in my perspective of viewing Valiant, I mean, Warren Simons, editor-in-chief, obviously has a big deal in it, and there's a lot of other guys you probably don't hear as much about. But, I mean, there's you, there's Matt Kint, there's Dysart. Lemire, now that he's in, Lenti, yeah, some
Gen
of those,
Meter,
yeah, Gen Vimeter in those books, there's, you know, certain little pillars in there. And you guys all kind of have your own little, I don't know, section, I almost want to say, mm-hmm, of the universe. Sometimes you work together and sometimes,
sure,
you don't.
Sure, yeah.
But that all kind of stems, you just like a round table, hey, here's this idea, and then you guys kind of go off on your own and do your own thing, or is that kind of...
Yeah, I mean, we all sit down and we talk about what we're going to do in like the next year of our books. So like, we just had a retreat, I guess it was in February. And like, I could tell you what happens in the whole 25 issues of Bloodshot, you know, or whatever, you know.
Not the whole, we'll talk about that when we turn this off, then we'll talk about that.
Yeah, not the whole 25, but like, I could tell you what's going to happen in the next 25 issues of Bloodshot, or I could tell you, you know, and Jeff knows what's going to happen in the next however many issues of XO, you know what I mean? So we all just sort of share ideas, and it's a lot of fun because you hear what people are working on, and I don't know, it inspires you in some way, you know. It's not like it's a competition and there's egos in the room, but
yeah,
you get it. Well, you just get excited by it, like, oh, that's a really cool idea, and it just kind of gets you creatively. It can be a very solitary existence in a lot of ways, because you just work at your house and, you know, you're not around people all the time or whatever. So when you go into those rooms, you can kind of feed off other people, and, you know, we've all known each other for a real long time. I've worked with Josh and Fred Van Lente since the beginning of Valiant, so it's going on 3+ years now, and then Matt Kent and Jeff Lemire, I've known, you know, 10 years maybe, going back all the way to Top Shelf, so...
Yeah, I've heard that on a, I think, Valiant Center's podcast they were talking to.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it was like, oh, I've known him.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, I used to pack boxes and mail out their books and right, all that stuff, so it's cool to just be able to sit around and talk about all that, you know?
Out of all the places you work, I mean, obviously DC is really big, and the mindset there is a lot different. I mean, I don't know if they can as easily bring that many creative pillars together and have the same kind of retreat. I mean, there's so many people there, right? There's so many books going on. There's so many ideas going around. It's not as, I don't know, tight-knit as Valiant.
Well, yeah, I think for DC, like I've certainly had multiple Green Lantern retreats where there'll be, you know, five Green Lantern writers there, which is kind of like, yeah, like super group have a retreat, Batman group have a retreat, things like that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, to get everybody from all the 52 books in one room, I don't even know how useful that would be. You know, yeah, because you get more done probably if you're working in your own little groups.
You know? I mean, I guess yeah. You think of that perspective, then it's still the same kind of close knit. You know, everybody's got the same idea. Like with all the Green Lantern stuff, like you said. I mean, there's lots of crossovers. You guys are all really involved. I think the only one maybe towards the end was like Justin Jordan, who was kind of doing his own thing with Kyle. You know, in his own little world there. Sure. But otherwise, you guys, I think we're all fairly together,
it was a tight continuity. That was the way they wanted the line to be. Of course, coming out of Convergence now, we're going to have new directions on all the titles, and we're going to be much more standalone. You know, there'll be common threads between them. If you read all the books, you sort of get that enhanced experience like you do with Valiant. If you're reading multiple titles, you get the sense of a larger universe, but they aren't dependent on each other, you know. So we'll be doing a lot of that.
You did. I just touched back on it a little briefly here. You mentioned however many issues of Exo Manowar. Is there a set plan for you right now? Can you even say? Obviously, comics is very secretive.
Yeah.
For me personally, my ideal is you stay on forever. Obviously, that's a freaking pipe dream, right? That's never going to happen. But is there a set plan that you personally have? Like, I know my story is going to be done in X amount of issues, yeah. and then I'm on to the next thing. Or
I tend to think like I don't know for whatever reason I tend to think in like, you know, 12, 14 issue chunks, and so like when I first got hired to write XO, I really hoped I would make it 12 issues. I hoped I'd make it 12 issues. I really hoped I would make it 24. I didn't think I'd get farther than that, you know, just because in the modern market, there's always, you know, new life getting breathed into things, new number ones, relaunching, and all that kind of stuff. So to be it now where I've written up through number 38, I'm working on 39 now, that's way beyond where I ever thought it would be. And it's also longer than anybody, it's more issues of XO than anybody has ever written, even going back to the original Valiant Universe, you know. So to me, I'm really proud of that. But it's one of those things where I'll come up with what my next 12-issue storyline is. And then as we get near the end of that, I'll go to Valiant and I'll say, are we going to keep this going? And if so, I'll come up with another 12 issues. You know what I mean? It's like that kind of thing. Because I'm very cognizant of the fact that by today's standards, I've already put together a really long run, you know? So, and on the other side of the coin, there's other things that I might want to work on too. And I'm not the fastest writer in the world. So, you know, moving things around so I could try new projects and always be challenging myself with new things and stuff like that, you know?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, all 35 issues have been great so far, like I said. I can't say that enough. It's the reason why I'm even reading Valiant right now. So that's big, I think. I think, like, you know, you hear about Matt Kent and he's planning, like, 5 years of Rye.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's always interesting to hear how people kind of plan. Like, I kind of like the idea, like, smaller chunks. Like, I'm going to plan this, and if they want more, then, you know, we'll expand it. And we'll, you know, and we'll go like that. So it's interesting to hear, you know, just little bits versus Matt Kent is probably those dialogue for 5 years from now. Because he's so, like,
I also want to be more of a speedboat, I guess, you know? Like, I want to be able to turn. Like, if they throw something at me, like, hey, what about this, you know, for example, with Armor Hunters? What about if we do an arc where, you know, somebody's coming to Earth to destroy the armor? Okay, now I'm going to come up with an Armor Hunters arc. It's all about the history of those characters. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to be versatile. That's what monthly comics is. Like, the story's never done, right? Like, if you do a creator-owned miniseries, you write it and it's over. With a monthly series, you always have the opportunity to change things and course correct or come up with a new idea that you like and go in that direction instead. And so I don't want to box myself in, you know, because I have to be at a specific location 5 years from now or whatever, you know.
Do you have any creator? I know you've done like Surrogates, right?
Yeah.
And is there any other creator owns you have on the go, or am I missing other ones?
Yeah, I did two Surrogates books, and I did another graphic novel at Top Shelf called The Homeland Directive, which is like a political medical conspiracy story set in the modern day. And then the
big graphic novel, like
just graphic novel, yep, oh, yeah. Yep. And then Mike Huddleston was the artist on it, and he did an amazing job. And then the project that I've been working on for a while now, a lot of people think that I just sort of stopped doing creator-owned stuff, but I actually have a children's novel series for intermediate readers, which is like a Harry Potter, Percy Jackson age. that the first one will be out from Simon & Schuster this June, and the second one will be out next June. So I've been writing those novels, which, again, me not being the fastest writer, is kind of a time-consuming endeavor. So that's been kind of the big creator-owned project that I've been working on, you know?
Just straight novel, right? Not graphic novel?
Actually, it's about a little, not a little boy, it's about a seventh grader who comes in possession of a cape that turns him into a superhero. But there's a catch to that. And then the novels actually... sometimes the cape works and sometimes the cape doesn't. He's trying to figure out why, because he doesn't have an instruction booklet or anything. And so the prose of the novel is whenever he's not a superhero, and when he puts on the cape and turns into a superhero, it turns into a comic book. So it's a hybrid style of story. You know?
That's really, really cool. And it's for about that like grade 7 range? Is that what the shot is? Or what's the kind of general age?
Yeah, it's... 9 to 12 year olds, so like, you know, 4th grade to 6th grade kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, that sounds really, really cool. And just that's your kind of side project, so to speak, in between your like the Valiant and the DC stuff.
Kind of working on it all at the same time.
All at the same time, yeah. I guess speaking of DC, with Convergence and whatnot, Green Lantern's going through some crazy changes right now. Can you talk a little bit about that? DC's more secretive, I'm sure, but I don't know what you could say about that.
Sure, yeah. Number 40, Green Lantern 40, set up what's going to be a big new direction for the Green Lantern title coming after Convergence. The idea is basically that because of all the things that the Guardians did, and also some of the mistakes Hal has made, the Green Lantern Corps' reputation as a police force is severely tarnished throughout the universe, like happens in the modern day when the cops fall out of favor, you know? And so Hal, being the leader of the Corps, takes responsibility for all those bad doings and all those errors that have been made, and is basically going to be the corrupt cop that takes the blame for everything, so that the Green Lantern Corps can have a new sort of chance to reclaim their reputation. And so the new direction for the book is going to be Hal all alone, you know, like he's cut off from the Corps. He no longer has a ring. He's got Krona's gauntlet, which allows him to still make constructs, and it has its own self-contained backpack battery, but it doesn't communicate with the other rings. The core can't trace him through the gauntlet or anything like that. So not only is the core after him because they think he's a corrupt chief, but all the villains that he ever combated with are also trying to kill him, because now he doesn't have the core backing him up. So he's kind of a lone wolf. We as readers know that he's a hero, but the rest of the universe is searching for him or thinks he's a bad guy. And so he's going to be living out of a spaceship, and he's got a new costume design. So there's going to be a lot of changes to it, but it's a storyline that I've been working toward for a very long time. And it just kind of worked out that Convergence fell when it did, because I was already trending with the new direction anyways. So I really didn't have to adjust a whole lot to fit in to what, you know, the sort of post-Convergence new look DC, you know.
You've been writing Green Lantern what, since 20?
No, I'm sorry,
21. Right. And Billy Tan's been with you like the whole time,
yeah,
more or less,
yeah,
couple fill-ins. And he's sticking with you then for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, he is. Well, actually, I'm going to show you some of the pages.
This is recording, so you guys can't see it, so screw you.
Can see some of the work that Billy's doing, which you aren't even allowed to describe.
I'll just fill it in with oohs and ahs, yeah. And they'll have to deal with that.
So if you want to keep talking about something else,
but you and Billy are working fairly close, and you're sticking together for.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. I love working with Billy. I never really got a chance to know him a whole lot, but DC had a really nice retreat back in February. And Billy came from China, and I got to hang out with him for a couple days. Just a super nice guy. And something I really appreciate about him is this wit that he has in his art. Like, he always does something funny, and it's always, like, kind of hidden, you know? But if you look around for it, in every issue, there'll be some little joke that he does somewhere.
Just kind of tucks in there.
Yeah, and I always see him, and they always crack me up, you know? He's just a great guy. A lot of fun. And he's done a really nice job on the character design for Hal, the new character design.
That's another thing I always wonder is the writer currently working on it, do they always have like a say in that? Or I know sometimes like you know, they'll bring out the big guns, like Jim Lee will step in and he'll, you know,
sure.
design something, you know,
yeah,
crazy
sure.
and
I I'm sure different circumstances work different ways. For me, like with this particular instance, because the new direction was such a new story direction, but also in keeping with Hal's personality, it just kind of demanded that there be a new character design for him to fit in with the new direction of the book. And so when I was talking to Billy about it, it was just sort of, you know, he's going to have a gauntlet now. We'd want to put him in like a duster with a cloak because he doesn't want to be noticeable where he goes, right? He's in hiding a bit. So the Green Lantern emblem is still present as a part of his costume, but it's not in the traditional Green Lantern costume, police uniform that the Corps would wear, you know.
I can definitely confirm that these pages are fantastic. There is tons of oohs and ahs that don't even do it justice. These are, they're just pencil pages, not even inked yet, and yeah, they're great, great pages.
Yeah, Mark Irwin is doing the inks, which is, he's doing a great job as well.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, here's some inks.
What issue is that from?
This is 41.
41?
Yeah. So even Alex Sinclair, the colorist, has sort of a new style almost that he's bringing to it to fit the tone of the new story. Which is going to first be seen as part of the 8-page preview that are going to run in a lot of the second month Convergent books. So in the May Convergent books, a lot of the issues are going to have 8-page, not even previews, but standalone stories.
Right.
And the Green Lantern one, I think, is going to be in Convergence, the Atom number 2. So it's not a preview of number 41. It's its own separate...
kind of like a lead-in?
8-page story, yeah. So Alex Sinclair even... you know, the way he's coloring the constructs is a bit different. Things are just... Here's an example of one of the things that Billy does. It's really funny. Like, you got this alien girl dancing, and this guy's just got oogling her with all these eyeballs, you know. So, you know, it's a new look, as you can tell.
Yeah, it is. It's like a different tone. It's almost more like a... I don't know, lack of, but like a more painted almost kind of like look to it, as opposed to like the standard coloring.
You can
like,
just see it's a different kind of
Alien
story.
Yeah, it's different,
you know?
Yeah.
It's much more of a spacefaring sort of... you know, like I say, Hal's going to be living out of a spaceship. Which goes back to his pilot roots, you know.
Right. So, no, that's...
Yeah,
that,
a lot of new things, you know.
That looks really cool. That's actually... I'm gonna have to pick that one up for sure, I think. That looks really, really good. Oh, that's cool. It's great that you managed to keep the same creative team as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, yeah.
Like, it's not often when something major changes like that. And then you get to keep everybody... he's burnt out. You know, we got to get somebody else in. And
not even that. Just to move stuff around. You know, people want to work on other projects or you just want to do a new look, you know. I mean, like, it's a monthly medium and there's so much of that demand. There's so much turnover now, you know. Not necessarily in a negative way. It's just the way the industry's built now. You know?
Well, yeah. And, I mean, it's great when you get, like Rye. Well, they'll take the break so that Clayton Crane can...
Yeah,
you know, you get that consistent look all the time. And then you understand that when you're looking at Marvel and DC and stuff, that they can't do that or won't. I mean, they got to keep that schedule.
Yeah. Well, the demands of 28 pages a month every month. I don't think people really appreciate how hard that is. You know, to send a book to the printer every 28 days. You know, written, penciled, inked, lettered, colored. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of things that have to happen. You know, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, edited, make sure everything works, and yeah. I mean, it's a crazy process for sure. And the fact that books do continue to have the same artists and continue to have the same quality and stuff. I mean, it's a great testament to the creative team, 100%, from top to bottom and everybody in between.
Yeah.
Geez, I can't get over those pages now. I just want to, like, read that now. I'm going to sit over here and read that 8-page story before everybody else does. What else you got coming up then? What else we got?
I'm going to be writing Flash, so I'll be doing Green Lantern, Flash, and XO are my three monthlies. Green Flash I co-write with Van Jensen. I got the novels.
Good,
yeah, and this summer, Valiant is doing another event comic called Book of Death. So I did Armor Hunters last year. This year I'm doing Book of Death for them. So that'll be a 4-month series that starts in July.
All the teasers have been crazy for that, by the way.
I'm sorry?
All the teasers have been really crazy for that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't know where...
Yeah,
I mean...
Yeah, Carrie's was really cool.
Oh, they're all good. Was this another case
since
of...
Since we're showing some pages of things that we can't talk about, let me show you this spread that Robert Gill drew.
Oh, here we go.
The Book of Death.
Robert Gill's amazing.
Jesus, I can show it to him. He can't say what it is, right?
No,
I can't describe it. I won't.
Yeah.
That's Adam in the background.
I have to actually stand here now.
He's got to make sure I'm not saying anything. Or he wants to see it again, one of the two.
Yeah, both, actually.
But, You just turned this in the other day.
That's all right. This is Adam from Valiant.
What's up? I'm Adam. Otherwise, not. Yeah, whatever. Adam Freeman.
Close enough.
Well, yeah.
You can't even describe what.
I can't even describe this. Okay. I won't even give it a reaction.
Just look at the like. Look at the level of detail. And
okay, my reaction's still wild then.
Like, you just look at it, and
wow.
There's just so many little things that you see. The more you look at it, the more,
jeez,
you know.
I mean, you wouldn't imagine that an image just full of rainbow kittens.
Yeah, I know.
Would be so
full of drama, you know?
And drama, yeah, drama, exactly. Yeah.
It's not even colored in. You can just see the rainbows popping off the page.
Those kittens, man, they are just, their adorable nature is almost frightening.
You can see from this image, it's a very different tone of story.
Really making Eric
what
humanized.
I've ever done before.
Yeah.
And also, I think, probably in a lot of ways, in what Valiant's done so far.
Yeah, and
it's going to be a very different
Gil's
kind of thing,
doing the
you know?
Whole... Four issues?
He is, yeah.
With some inserts from some of our regular friends too. It's gonna be this book is gonna be there'll be a lot of surprises connected to this book, and that's all I can say.
It's a ton of content.
Yeah.
And it's just the four, or is there crossovers as well?
I wouldn't call them crossovers, but there's gonna be individual standalone issues. There's gonna be these have all been announced, right?
I believe so. When is this going live?
We'll probably do it this week.
I think they've all been announced because those teaser images were out.
There's going to be a mini series, and with each month of the mini series, there's going to be a one shot in which we explore the end of many of our characters. So, how they came to their demise.
Bloodshot, Exo, Ninjak, and Harbinger.
Yes.
So it'll be one of those every month, along with the four issue main series. And potentially some other things as well.
There might be a little few surprises. In fact, I know of at least two things that are going to be happening with this miniseries that are going to be industry firsts, that some of which people will see coming and some of which people will never see coming. It's going to be huge. And I can tell you right now, Robert has been working on one of them this weekend, and it's going to blow people's minds. You're going to love it.
If I wasn't already excited for Valiant, guys,
I wish like, I could be less cryptic. But man, it's going to be awesome. I cannot wait for this. You guys to see this.
Oh man, so cool. When does that? When does it start?
July.
Yep. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait, you guys. That's crazy.
Now it is July, right? July. Yeah.
Yeah, confirmed. July.
Yeah, because July is also EXO gets married in July, doesn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Remember the date, but yeah.
That's a big month for EXO.
he's got a lot going on, man.
Yeah, he does.
He's a busy dude.
Yeah.
It's a lot of multitasking.
Well, that's great. I think that's it. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah. No problem,
where can we find you on the social medias?
I'm on Twitter at Robert Vendetti. I'm also on Facebook. I have a page you can like as opposed to a. I don't know what you call that.
Like a person page.
It's
whatever.
Like a professional page. Or
yeah,
whatever,
yeah, I know.
And then my website, robertvinay.com.
I really appreciate it. You guys just made me even more crazy for Valiant. I'm going to push the crap out of that. I have no doubts it's going to be amazing.
I appreciate it.
I'm super stoked.
Yeah, I mean, you know, big, always trying to challenge myself, you know. So Arma Hunters went over well. Now I'm
more than well.
You got to compete with yourself, you know what I mean? So hopefully I can continue to do that.
I don't know how you're going to continue to top yourself. I really don't. I mean just from Armor Hunters, just the beginning of Dead Hand now, like that, there's a lot of good stuff coming, I'm sure. So Valiant all the way. I appreciate it, Robert. Thank you very much.
Thank you.